Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us. And I want to thank the One Institute for bringing us to be here with you each and every Thursday night. Pardon me if I sound a little funky. I have a cold. And I want to say the call-in number, 323-203-0815. Dr. Allen, you are live on the air.
I'm happy and alive, and I don't have a cold, and I'm ready to go to work.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. We have a caller already, which is great. Let's see. All right. Caller, you're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Hi, Dr. Pat. Thanks for taking my call. I actually just have a really quick question. So I've been duty dating and rereading your book, and a couple of things have kind of come up, and I'm not sure how to deal with them. So the first is, you know, online dating. I've noticed a lot of guys give me their phone numbers, and I'm
absolutely
not sure how.
Absolutely.
So that's
they
okay.
want to be cherished. It's okay as long as women that are masculine want them.
Okay,
You want a masculine man?
Yes.
Then don't respond to the feminine ones.
So if we've been talking for a while and then it's like, oh yeah, you know, here's my number, you know, call me or text me sometime. So I should just stay silent?
Why not send them your number?
Okay. All right. So if they give
If you meet him and he has a card and he gives you the card, turn it over if you like him, if you're attracted. Turn it over and write your name and address. Not address, phone number, text number, whatever, website. If you don't like him, put it in your pocket and say thank you.
Okay. All right. So I guess same thing. If it's online, then it's just thank you and move on.
No, not necessarily.
No, I didn't say that. I said you could send him your number, your website, your text.
Okay. All right.
Which is so like dueling, crossing. You're crossing him with your sword.
Okay.
Because here's the situation. He's offering his number, so he's not intimidating you, saying, you know, can I have your number? If he offers you his number and then you offer him your number, see the, how that's kind of reciprocating. But if he doesn't have your number, he can't call you. That's not really fair. I mean, he may not be feminine, but with this whole Me Too movement, men are very intimidated by becoming what they term now as aggressor. So I think that it's kind of unfair to say, he's feminine. He maybe is just trying to be a gentleman, offering his number to not intimidate you.
Right.
It's difficult online. I mean, how can you really, in person, it's different, but online, interacting online, I think is different. Wouldn't you say so, Dr. Allen?
Yes.
Okay. So I'll give them my number. Have one more question. So
I've
been wondering, let's say a guy is at least 51% valuable to me.
Yes.
And we've started having sex. What if I want better or more? How can I ask for that?
How can you ask about what?
So let's say a guy is, so you say that a guy should be at least 51% valuable. So let's say he is.
Yes.
And I want more or better sex. How do I ask for that?
First of all, You don't ask for it unless you're in a committed relationship of monogamy, continuity, and long-term similar goals. Because when you ask for a thing before he's made a commitment, what you're doing is taking the male mothering position of being the head, the respectable one, which you have a right to do, but it may not be a turn-on for him. So okay. When you're ready, when you're in a committed relationship, you can say to him, honey, I want to talk about some things that are fairly sensitive. So would you be willing to talk about these things? List them. And when would it be convenient? You would make an appointment with him to go over the things that you want to renegotiate or upgrade.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
But
okay.
You can't do that. You cannot do that until he said, I want you to stop dating other men and date me alone. I want you to be my girlfriend.
Okay. So, my last, I see that. That's much later when I actually get a commitment. Okay. So, my third question is, I was filling out the quiz you have in your book, Getting to I Do, and the three areas that I actually answered male, most of them I answered female, but then the things I answered male were money, career, and sex. So I'm wondering, because those seem to be the things that are more masculine.
No, they're not more masculine. They produce more dopamine, and they are tremendously important. These two things, sexuality and finances, money, produce the greatest highs and the worst lows.
Right. So, like, how do I've noticed, like, when I go out on dates and tell guys what I do, because I'm in a very masculine industry, I almost notice them just kind of turning off when I tell them what I do. So how do I say in that?
Well, what do you say you do? What is it you do?
I'm an engineer.
I understand. So the world's greatest chefs are men. So if a man is turned off because you're an engineer, he's looking for a beta woman who basically lives what they used to call the female role, teacher, you know, something that is feminine.
Secretarial pool, nurse.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So you are better off without a man that turns off to the fact that his eyes said you were attractive, and that's really important. And now his brain is saying, I don't want a smart, educated woman. Well,
that's true.
That's not going to do very well with an alpha woman. Remember what alpha is. It's a person whose brain and heart are involved, and they need someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to, because they're complicated. They get bored easily. So man wants a beta, and you aren't a beta.
Okay. All right. Okay. I suppose I don't want to spend time with someone who doesn't like my career. Okay. All right.
Well, that's his problem, not yours. He has a right to want. He has a right to want a very feminized woman. She has a right to exist.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Good luck, caller.
Oh, I actually have one. I have one more. Can I ask one more question?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. So this might sound petty, but when I go out on dates and the guys are so horribly dressed, like, how do I bring that up? Because, like, we go to, like, dinner and the guy, you know, I dress up, like, I'm trying to look all feminine and the guy just looks, you know,
like a bum?
Would you please raise your right hand?
Yes.
I promise.
I promise.
On my honor.
On my honor.
To respect the men I'm dating.
Respect the men I'm dating.
Unless.
Unless.
I have to call the police.
I have to call the police.
A doctor.
A doctor.
Or a lawyer.
Or a lawyer.
Now, do you understand what you're saying? I want to mother him and have him dress right so he reflects well on my choice. If he's somebody that you instinctively answered yes to a request for a date, you're investigating his values. Einstein didn't even match his shoes.
And rarely, if ever, combed his hair.
Never combed his hair either. Therefore, are you looking for a son to reflect your marvelous choice in men?
Mm-hmm. What does it affect chemistry?
Chemistry, the funny thing about chemistry is, here's an example. You've got to meet him. You've got to meet him. He's the handsomest thing you have ever seen. And he's going to be, we're going to meet for dinner. I want you to drop by. So you drop by. And he's ugly.
It looks like Quasimodo.
That's right. You know what chemistry does?
Mm-hmm.
It makes them smell good, look good, sound good. That's the reason we bond to them. Because if we've got chemistry, they remind us of a good dad and the chemistry he had. And they're not bad. They're a new man. And we can build a life with them. So you obviously pick with your eyes. And that's a woman who's a man.
Mm-hmm.
If you pick with your ears, you're going to listen to his moral code. You're going to listen to his humor. You're going to listen to his intelligence. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you won't even recognize if he looks like Shrek.
That's exactly right. It was so strange when my husband died that all I could do was look at his brother's legs, which looked like my husband's legs.
Right.
It was strange how the chemistry literally tortured me, but it proved to me that chemistry is chemistry, and it's physical, and it's not visual.
Okay. All right, I get that.
Thanks, what? Caller. We're going to have to move on. We have other callers, but thank you so much for calling. Let us know what happens.
Yep. Thanks, Pat.
Bye-bye.
Now, Kelly.
Yes.
The truth is, if she wants to be a man, she picks with her eyes.
Yes. Definitely.
I have no problem with women that are men. I have no problem with men that are women.
But you got to kind of know what you want. It looks like we've got another caller.
Good.
Hey, new caller. You're on the air live with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I do have a question. I have gone on 3 dates with someone, and I really like them. And I get
how many dates? Did you do 3?
3.
Okay, so you really gave yourself a chance to really see if you had chemistry and enough compatibility to want to be on date 2 and 3.
Yes. So my sense is at this point, this individual is looking toward dating and perhaps monogamy, or asking to, you know, date officially or exclusively. And
are you the man in the relationship?
No, no.
So he's got to say, I see you're still on the website. Why are you on there? I'm not on there.
Well, my thing is that at what point is it okay? I mean, is like if it comes up on a fourth date, is that okay to already say, yes, I'm okay with being exclusive, or is that too soon?
There is no too soon. Number one, if you have chemistry and he has chemistry,
yes,
he's going to say something, this is a gentleman.
Yes.
I saw you're still on your website. Why, I'm not. What he's doing is coming in the back door to say, stop dating other men. That's the least aggressive form for a man to use. The most is, I want to make love to you. He just says, I want to make love to you. And you say, I'm very honored. Thank you for being attracted to me. But I've made a commitment to myself to not have casual sex, but to build relationships because I want to get married in the next few years.
Okay. Yeah, I'm good on that. I mean, I have that in my pocket. I'm ready to use that if needed. I guess my main thing was that is the fourth date, if that comes up, that's just my sense of him, that's where it's going. And is that too soon, or is that okay?
I've got news for you. It's okay if it shows up on the first date.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
I want you to stop dating other men now. If he's a good man, say fine. But if he says, and I want to make love to you now, I appreciate that, but I've just met you. So I have a commitment to find out, you know, if we're compatible and going to the same place.
Okay. Got it.
Women get what they want when they know what they don't want.
Yes.
But chemistry usually happens when it happens now.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? So
you've got
to deal with it, but you've got to deal with it in a loving way, respectful way.
Okay. I got it. Okay. Thank you. Okay.
Awesome.
Good. Thank you.
Good luck.
Thanks, caller.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Very interesting. It seems we have a dating theme tonight.
Yeah, that's our theme. Sounds like it.
Sounds like our theme. Let's see. I'll check our switchboard. See what
Hello?
We've got. Oh, there we go. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's a question and a sort of a little bit of a story. I have been going through a breakup the long way. And just feeling very bad about
myself.
What do
you mean the wrong way? What kind of breakup is the wrong way?
No, the long way.
Oh.
The long way.
Long way?
I'm not sure I understand that terminology either, Dr. Allen. What do you mean by the long way?
Well, the breakup actually happened in January, and then it sort of dragged out a little bit.
Does that mean you're still lovers?
No. Well, he kept contacting me, and then I agreed to meet.
Was he leaving you, or were you leaving him?
He was leaving me.
But he kept contacting you.
2 months after. And I didn't respond.
Because?
2 months. Dr. Allen, that's 8 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's the 8 weeks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's sort of a magic time, I've noticed.
It's and, not a magic time. It's a chemical time. Babies are 36 weeks. And rumination, this is what I got out of Maxwell Maltz's book in the 60s, is that human beings ruminate, think, feel, brain heart, for about 8 weeks when they have a major decision to make. But some people make impulsive decisions and then don't follow them, and that's what he sounds like he does. I'm breaking up with you, but I want to be your friend, and can we be friends with perks?
Well, yeah, it did sort of evolve into that. There was the 2 months of him, 2 months later, he contacted me by text and was just saying hello, and I was ignoring it. And then...
Well, I don't understand why you would say you ignored it. What, I thought you loved him.
I did, but I thought a hello was really a non-text. It doesn't say anything. It just says...
But it says, I want to see you. See...
I don't know what it says. I did respond to it about 3 or 4 days later, and then it was cold already.
I understand that. So do you impulsively turn away men when they do mistaken things?
Perhaps if I'm not feeling secure about the situation, perhaps I can do that, yeah.
But that's why you're insecure, because every relationship is subject to blowing up. The secret is to know what you're going to do. What's plan B? If he leaves
right.
me, we're not... If he leaves me, I cannot see him. I can answer his phone calls, but my chemistry requires that I get off being bonded to him by not seeing him, smelling him. So if he calls me, I answer courteously. If he says he wants to see me, I say, that's nice of you to ask, but I still have feelings for you that I've got to get over. So I can answer your calls, I can answer your texts, but I can't see you unless we're rebuilding.
Well, I wish I had said all those things, because I did agree to see him. And we had a really nice time where he sort of acted like my boyfriend. And
does that
people
mean
that,
sex? Does that mean sex?
It was sex, and it was, the way he termed it afterwards, was just affection. But
so,
I mean, when we would go out, people would think that we were a couple. It was, you know, holding
you
hands.
A couple.
Yeah.
You were a couple. You had been rejected, but he was still treating you, and people could feel the energy between you.
Right.
Well,
and then... I'm sorry, go ahead.
What I'm going to say, did you ever set the boundaries, or are you still friends with perks?
I set the boundaries, but it was after he said, after 4 days of being together, he said, I said, what's going on here? And he said, well, I'm really happy being a single man, and I can't be in a relationship right now. And you know that, and you know I need to sort myself out. And I just want to be your friend.
You can't be friends after your lovers.
That's what I said. I said, I can't do that. And then...
That's good.
Well, then I backpedaled a little bit.
But you can text. You can email, you can talk on the phone.
Here's the thing. I'm going to just fast forward really quickly. This was over a trip where we met each other halfway. And at the end of it, after we got back home, I wanted to talk to him and say, see how it really was. Now that we're back in our houses, how does it really feel? And he said the same thing. I don't want to be in a relationship right now. It's not you, it's me, and all this stuff. And I said, I get that. But, this kind of connection doesn't come around very often. Is it that you just don't want it right now? Or do you want to try?
Understand, Are you wanting to be a mother masculine woman with him? Do you want to do the pursuing?
No, I don't. And I did do that because...
You did do that. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If you did it deliberately, I approve. If you didn't do it deliberately, that's your codependency issue.
I think it was a little bit of codependency.
Well,
you know, he also had a lot of issues, and I felt, you know, a little bit of a, like I needed to help him. And I know that's a setup.
Sorry, you can't help a man want you.
Right.
That isn't a man. A man knows what he wants.
Can I just say, this is a guy who put me on a pedestal, and I told him not to. And he told me he loved me, and he begged me to tell him I loved him. And I said, you know, I need some time. And I felt like when I said that to him, when I said, of course I do love you, everything changed.
I appreciate that. He may be a sociopath.
Ugh.
There's two kinds of really scary men. Sociopaths, they're the ones that spot you as valuable in their life. Usually it has to do with money. Your dad owns some company or there's something socially valuable about you. And they con you into thinking they're in love with you. Or, here's another one, a psychopath. A psychopath
right.
convinces you that you're not enough or you're screwed up or you want him more than he wants you, which is what this one did. So that you become so emotionally wounded that you have a temptation to be everything for him, even if he's nothing for you.
Well, it was going that direction, yeah. And
so,
now that it's over, I just feel
yes,
so discarded.
You're supposed to. You just had an experience with the con man.
And why do you think I chose to be with a con man?
You didn't decide it. None of us can figure out who we're with when we meet them. You don't know anybody until you know them almost a year.
This was a long-distance relationship for almost a year.
I got news for you. I hear all of the reasons that he could get to you. He had a sweet mouth. Did you have sex with him?
Well, this is the thing. It had been a really long time since I had sex. And I did have sex with him right away
because you hadn't had sex in a long time?
Yeah,
that's
and
not
I thought, I'm really not... Well, I thought, I'm really not into this guy. I'm never going to see him again. Maybe this will be good for me. I'll just do it.
Now, would you be so kind as to set boundaries around your sexuality? Because being sexual with another human being is being extraordinarily vulnerable. And when
yeah.
you get wounded, it helps you put walls up so that nobody else can get in.
Right.
I don't believe that you set up your half of the relationship.
You don't believe I set it up properly, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. I believe that you just had a casual sexual encounter and ended up bonded to a con man.
Well, I think, I don't know if he was a full-on con man, but I think he definitely had the potential to be manipulative because of his
manipulation,
you know,
is fine. It's gaming, lying. There's three
right.
ways to communicate. Intimidate with fear, that's rape. Seduce with guilt and shame. Or negotiate with love. What he said was, I'm not ready for a relationship. Which was absolutely 360 around from what he did say. He didn't follow up with what he said. Dear, that's not a manipulation. That is a game. I want you to adore me and stay with me when I abuse you. That's a codependent relationship.
Until he's done.
So he's done using you. There's a wonderful old movie with Ingrid Bergman and who was the guy? Humphrey Bogart? No, it wasn't Humphrey Bogart. Anyway, it was Ingrid Bergman, and the movie was named Gaslight. And the movie shows him driving her crazy. And then she catches on and she turns the table on him. It's just a really good movie about this issue.
I feel like even though, you know, my girlfriends and everyone says you didn't do anything wrong except maybe pick the wrong person.
So I want you to know you did something wrong when you said, I haven't had a penis in my vagina in a long time. I think I'll use this one. Well, I've got news for you. That was you misusing your skills at being lovable. Don't ever do that again.
That's my core issue, is being lovable.
What?
That's my core issue, is not feeling like I am lovable.
Well, what did your dad do to you that caused that?
Nobody did anything horrible to me, honestly. I just grew up in a house.
They don't have to do horrible. They can just do torturous. Was your dad a loving dad to you?
No, he was a rageaholic.
Mm. Well, dear, can you hear that you're already wounded by the major man in your life? And so men that want to abuse you, you're very comfortable with.
It's familiar, I agree.
Well, I got news for you. Develop a taste for a boring, loving guy.
Right.
I call you ladies norepinephrine addict. Norepinephrine is a downer neurotransmitter that gets us from running off the cliff from excitement. But some people are so tortured when they were little that they're accustomed to painful parents, especially daddy for daughter and mother for son. That's Freud's big work. And because of that, you don't feel comfortable with nice people. They're too boringly nice. You feel alive when you feel the pain that daddy caused you, because that's what love is. Painful. Have you got that?
I do. I know I have issues feeling love from other people.
Do you go to therapy at all?
I have been in therapy my whole life, and I took a break from it for a few years, and I just started up again, and I don't think this
have you taken
I know
EMDR.
What to do with me.
Have you taken EMDR?
No, I haven't.
You want to read a book about it.
Okay.
The creator of EMDR, eye movement rapid desensitization, is Francine Shapiro. And she wrote a wonderful book called Getting Past Your Past. Isn't that a wonderful title?
It's a great title.
It will help you understand. And here's what city do you live in?
New York.
What?
New York.
New York. Austin, Texas is the headquarters nationally for EMDR. if you call them, EMDR, and ask them, they'll send you lists of therapists in your area that you can find that will help you desensitize the pain of a bad relationship with your father.
Okay.
It's designed specifically for trauma. But before you invest money, read the book by the creator so that you know what the foundation of the technique is.
Okay, I can do that.
What?
I said, okay, I can do that.
Yes, you can do that. Because I'm afraid your picker is bent.
Yeah. Because I actually thought this was a good one.
What?
I actually thought this was a good one in the beginning.
I know.
That's why I let it go on.
Really, he was almost as bad as your dad, wasn't he?
I'm not going to say that there weren't some things that reminded me, but not in behavior.
Well, then say it. There were some things that reminded me of my dad, and my dad was not very loving. He was a rageaholic. He was an intimidator.
Intimidator. But I don't want to say that this guy was a rageaholic or an intimidator.
No,
because I don't
worse.
Think that
he was a psychopath. Driving you wacko. I love you, I love you, I want you, I want you, I adore you, No, I don't want you. Can you think of anything crueler than that? And then he had
I wouldn't do that to someone.
He had the pleasure of you calling him and asking him to talk about it. No, I just don't want you. Whatever his mother did to him, you paid for it.
Oh, I think they have a very unusual and messed up relationship. It's just the two of them.
Dear, I already told you that because I can hear the symptoms.
Yeah.
Now, did you get what you needed in this phone call?
I think so.
I'm going to give you one more thing, ma'am. EMDR, okay. International Association in Austin, Texas. You can reach them at 512-451-5200. You can also go to their website, and you can just Google that and find them. That's a number, 512-451-5200.
Thank you both very much. I really appreciate it.
Isn't it good? There's something to help you.
Yeah.
Excellent. And by the way, Dr. Allen, the gentleman, leading gentleman in Gaslight was Charles Boyer.
Oh,
there
good.
You go.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. Good luck. And we hope that you'll reach out and see if EMDR can help you. Please let us know.
Thank you.
You bet. That's exciting, Dr. Allen, that, you know, we have that number out there for people, that EMDR number that you've talked about before on our show. So
good.
People can reach out for that. Yeah. And Joseph Cotton, Charles Boyer, Joseph Cotton, Ingrid Bergman, Gaslight.
Good.
Excellent.
Yay.
We have another caller. Hey, caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi, Kelly. Hi, Dr. Pat.
Hi.
I called last week. I've been calling maybe every week for the last 3 weeks.
That's very nice.
I'm the one that got my promise ring, and the other woman was at Monster Jam.
Promise ring you didn't like.
Yeah. So we are officially girlfriend boyfriend.
Yay!
But I'm having a couple of issues with him left over from before we were exclusive.
Okay, what's that?
Yeah, there's three issues. So one is he keeps on wanting to go to singles parties.
By himself or with you?
If I'm able to go with him, I am invited. But if I'm not able to, then he goes on his own. So last week, he actually went three times out of the week.
And you couldn't go with him? You could not go with him?
No, like my throat right now is scratchy. I was sick with the flu, so I wasn't able to go.
Okay. I've got to ask this. Did your dad fool around on your mom?
He had one. He did have an affair once. And my dad was very handsome, and he had many women
chasing
attracted to him.
That's right.
Yeah, throughout
my
mother's marriage.
Once I heard that your man said you were invited to his singles, that just means unmarried single people. Once you told me that he invited you to join him, I understood that you had been frightened by a dad who was not faithful to your mom. And so you automatically think that when men go to parties without you, that they're being unfaithful to you. When the truth is, we all have to be an individual, an I, in order to be a good we, in order to be a good us. That's in my book, The Man's World and the Woman's Universe. I explain I-ness, we-ness, us-ness very clearly. So if you want a book to read, get my last book. Hay House published it, and it's in your store, Amazon, someplace. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I've yet to read. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one's your most recent book. I haven't read it yet. But yeah, I'll get it.
But I want you to hear that it's what your dad did that you're blaming on him.
So then that follows up to my second issue.
All right. But did you get the first one? He wasn't doing anything
wrong. Yeah, you're
saying,
even though he's exclusive with me, he's unmarried. And
wait,
that is what he says.
He's unmarried, and it's a singles party.
Right.
You're his girlfriend. How long have you been his girlfriend?
Only 3 weeks.
Well, I got news for you. There's some work to do to become a special person, and you're not that at this time. You're dating.
What do I have to do to become a special person?
Are you having sex with him?
No.
Oh, good. All right. Has he asked for it?
Several times.
You've said,
I don't trust
so
him,
much.
So I told him.
What?
I told him I wasn't going to have sex with him unless we got married.
You know what? You're not going to jump into marriage. Are you going to get engaged first?
Yeah, yeah. But he was thinking I would have sex with him after engagement, and I said, no, after we're married.
Oh, you're not going to. That's very high standard, which you have a right to. Is it based on religion?
An experience, like, I feel a lot of compassion for that previous caller because I also dated a narcissist and it was just awful after we broke up and I had sex with him. So I don't want to put myself through that experience ever again.
I know that. But I think if you're in a committed relationship with somebody that's monogamous, continuously seeing you, and building towards a marriage, a commitment, that puts you in a team spot. Right now, you're dating, and you have no standing to ask him not to go places by himself. And I think that him inviting you to go is wonderful, but it's also wonderful that he's an individual enough to go if you can't go.
I get that logically. Because he's been single for 2 years and recovering from a divorce. And he said that that's his social community and he doesn't want to be home alone when he doesn't have his kids.
Do you see? And that's the way it is. So he keeps himself busy. So my thoughts to you are, date him. You know, he's still dating you. He knows you're not going to give him intercourse. Now, it's going to be hard for you to find, unless you're in a religious system, you know, where the religion requires that you not have sex until you're married.
Well, I'm Christian, and they teach that, but, I mean, not very many people follow it. It is partly religion, but it is also just because I dated a narcissist and I was completely broken after that. So
I understand that. But are you willing to learn how to do? Are you prepared not to find a man who will wait until you're married to have sex in America? Are you prepared for that?
I don't know, Dr. Allen. I'll call you about that when the time comes, because I'm having so many issues with him. I don't even know if we're going to get that far. The second question I had was,
what is it?
At these singles parties, the other woman is there.
So what's
the one that he... And then I asked him, I noticed that
so
he's been...
So your guts tell you instinctively that he's unfaithful to you. Is that correct?
No, because she is apparently dating somebody else at the moment.
He's duty dating. He's dating you and he's dating other people. What's wrong with that?
Oh, but we're exclusive.
Yeah, he gave her a promise ring.
How can you be exclusive and you're not exclusive? He's dating other people.
No, remember I called you in a private session because he was also dating a widow, but then he ended up choosing me and giving me the promise ring.
You know what? Then are you in a committed relationship or aren't you? I'm not sure of that.
Well, from his mouth,
darling,
we are.
Going to a singles party is not breaking his commitment to you. It's your second you couldn't go.
Okay, so we are exclusive, but... The other virtuous woman is at these parties.
I got it. What's wrong with that?
And I asked him, he's still like clicking heart, like smiley face heart emojis on her.
I want you to understand that I don't hear exclusive.
Oh, by his behavior?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so he's still sending her heart messages on Facebook.
Dear, wait.
Uh-huh.
I said I don't hear exclusive.
He said we're exclusive, and I have a promise ring.
Well, then that's what he's doing. He's not having sex with her, is what I hear.
So are you right. Facebook stalking him and her?
Yeah, I am, Kelly.
Because, you know, I was told something as a child, but it was interesting to me. People who stand in doorways and listen to things they're not supposed to hear are often damaged. So that's the thing. So what? He puts a heart on something she writes. You already knew that he had a thing for her, and she didn't really have a thing for him. So he's going to do that.
And then at the party, I asked him if he could not hug her, because I found out this last weekend that they had been very sexually intimate. He didn't have sex with her, he said, but they were naked together. So
dear,
I asked
dear,
him.
Dear.
Yes, Pat.
I want you to understand he's an individual. He's been married and divorced. For whatever reason, he's befriending this person, even though this person probably knows he's given you a ring. It is not a committed relationship.
So you're saying even though he said it is, his behavior shows that we're not in a committed relationship.
No. You know what it shows? You're not committed to him.
What? I thought you were going to say the other way around, that he's not.
No, I know that. You want control over him because you're afraid he's like your dad. You will know when he's unfaithful, with rings, without rings. You will know the reality. You have no evidence that he's having sex with her, do you?
No, he's not. He's not having sex with her.
And your gut tells you that instinctively, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you're not committed to him. You do not want him to be an individual. You want him to be in a codependent relationship with you.
I asked him not to hug her, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to hug her. I feel like if he...
Okay, I'm done with this conversation.
We have to go anyway. We're past our time. We've got to sign off. And I thank everybody for tonight for calling www.drpatallen.com. If you want a private appointment, you can start with 15 minutes and go up to as long as you need. Info@drpatallen.com is the way to find out about that. You were looking for our products? I know you are, because everybody wants them. www.wanteyestore.com. We love you so much. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.